Yeah, like Rick said, when I first became born again, you know, I had a friend that introduced me to Reinhard. Not personally, obviously, but just his teaching and the call on his life. I mean, he's an evangelist. I mean, in Africa, over 70 million souls have come to Jesus through this one man in his ministry, and he started out by himself. I mean, you would see on YouTube, you could look up CFAN is the name of the ministry, and they're just a sea of people coming, giving their life to Jesus, crowds, like a wave of wheelchairs, piles of crutches, witch doctors coming to these meetings, right? Muslims, most of them are Muslims. They come just to check out and see what's going on, and they get there and they hear the gospel. The gospel of Jesus, like the gospel in its most simplest form. Snatched right out of darkness, snatched right out of Islam beliefs. Healed, delivered, set free. And even Reinhard's story and testimony on his life is amazing. He's a German preacher. So if you guys hear me start to talk with a German accent, it's just part of the anointing, I guess. It's just like part of the impartation to maybe slip into a German accent. But his father was a preacher. So Reinhard is this, you know, third, fourth generation preacher. And growing up, he had an older brother. And his father would always tell him, Reinhard, my mantle goes to my youngest son. Or my oldest son. So Reinhard, being the youngest, was always like, you know, the outcast, just the little guy running around. And he said, well, that's okay, you know, because I know at 12 years old, he got this call to preach the gospel in Africa. So he said, all right, Dad, the older brother can have your mantle because God has one for my own mantle. And so he just begins doing crusades and he gets called to start. He was living in Florida. Gets called to South Africa, and sometimes he said he would travel days and get to a place where there would be five people ready to hear him preach, and not one of those five people even wanted to get saved. Like he would travel days. And Reinhard's testimony is so full of perseverance and endurance. Like, do we really believe this thing that we've been given? This salvation, this hope, this faith, this love that goes past, this peace that goes past our understanding. Like Reinhard believed, not only on the call of his life, but that Jesus, the man, is alive. Like Jesus is alive. And I know that even myself before this week, I've believed that. I've experienced that, but seeing firsthand what an alive Jesus does, it's wrecked me. And so I do want to just share a little bit about the trip, and as Rick said, it was a selection process, and when I found out about Reinhard, something just like stirred in my spirit. Like, I got to meet this man. I got to know him. I got to know what he's about. I got to listen to the things that he says. And so for the last 3 years, you know, just every time somebody said Reinhard, it was almost like, yeah, I know him, you know. So I filled out this application, and even that process is an amazing testimony of the sovereignty of God. Usually they accept 300 students a year to this school in Orlando. And so I get on the computer, and I pull up the application, and I see that this year they're only accepting 150. So instantly, like, I feel like my odds went from, you know, 20% down to 3%. And before I even fill out the application, I'm just, like, crying. I'm just weeping, like, Lord, there is no possible way that this is really going to happen. And so through my tears, you know, I type in my, you know, my what I feel I'm called to and my experience already with evangelism and hit submit. And instantly I get a text message. And the text message said, do you feel like you have what it takes? Again, it breaks me instantly. I'm like, Lord, there is absolutely no way that I have what it takes to fulfill what I believe you're calling me to do. And I just heard the Lord say, as long as you never forget that. Like, as long as you never forget, son, then in and of yourself, you are going to have what it takes to do what I'm calling you to do. On your own, I could use you. I can use someone who feels weak. And so I just said, okay, Lord, if this is what you have for me, if what you've put in my heart is truly from you, Lord, I pray your will be done, not mine. And so I checked every day, like my emails, you know, nothing. Your application has not yet been accepted. And I kind of gave up on it, you know. So the old church that I went to, my old church, we had a men's district meeting. And so I'm sitting around this table with my pastor and a couple of the other guys. And I just hear the Lord say, hey, check your email. Check your emails this morning. So I said, all right. So I open it up, man. And there it was. Congratulations. You've been accepted to the Reinhard Bonnke School of Evangelism. And I just bust out in tears. Like, I'm a crier anyways, you know. So guys are like, oh, it's just Kev. He's just crying again. No, but seriously, it was like this overwhelming sense of like, that in my weakness, you know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, he gets called up to the third heaven. And I don't know about you guys, but if this afternoon I get caught up to the third heaven, tonight it's on Facebook. Guaranteed, I'm posting that one because that's an amazing experience and I'm probably calling everyone in here. But Paul says, but no, he even addresses us in 2 Corinthians as a man I know. He doesn't even say, listen, it was me. Like the humility and just the brokenness, knowing that the poor in spirit shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so in this place, I'm just weeping in front of my pastors, and I feel so joyful, and I rejoice. Like I am boasting in my weakness in front of these men of God. And they rejoice with me, and it's just like I almost feel like God speaks to my heart and says, listen, the things that I've put in your heart, they're not yours. Those aren't your desires. Those are my desires for you. And when we come into agreement with God's desires for our life, they become our desires. And when we delight ourselves in him, we can rest assured that he's going to give us the desires of our heart. And so here it was, you know, congratulations. And instantly, right? So isn't this the enemy to instantly come in and try to steal away what God has just put into your life? Instantly, a pastor, right, comes over to me. And my pastor goes, hey, man, check this out, man. My son just got accepted to this awesome school. And you know, so we're all hanging out. And the pastor looks at me and he goes, so are you credentialed? Like, I'm crying and I'm, like, rejoicing. And he asked me this question. He goes, are you credentialed? And I'm just like, why do we got to go there right now? Why does it got to be? Can't you just like high five me and bless me? He wants to know, are you credentialed? Do you have a certificate from man that says that you are qualified to preach this word of God? And I look at him, I said, no, man, I'm not credentialed. And he looks at me, he goes, listen, Reinhard is going to point you out and he's going to rebuke you in front of everybody there and said that you've been disobedient. Yeah. And I just am like, oh, Lord. That never happened, actually. As a matter of fact, no. As a matter of fact, what happened was there was a great impartation that where we might not be qualified in the eyes of man, God sees us, right? We are to study to show ourselves approved in the eyes of God. And as we grow in favor with God, we will grow in favor with man. And so this journey begins. I just want to thank everybody too that sowed into me going, because not only do I believe that it changed and it brought birth and brought to life and breathed on the fire that was already in me, but I believe that everyone that sowed into it and the lives that the Lord uses me to touch will all be based, you know, from this place and you just sowing into that. So I just want to thank you and bless you and let you know that there are God is moving in a great way. And so that's just kind of the testimony. The trip was paid for, basically. Hotel, everything, gas was just completely covered. The Lord blessed the entire trip. I do have some scripture that I want to share. One thing that I learned about Reinhardt is he's a man who preaches a simple gospel. Like, we don't have to make it lofty, and we don't have to try to come up with, like, some crazy cute way to deliver it. Like, the word sustains itself. And the miracles and the wonders and the signs that follow the word, they confirm the word. The signs and the wonders confirm the word of God. So here's a man that can testify that when you preach the word of God, it moves, it breathes, it's alive. And not only does it go forth, but it will never return void. And so this morning, one thing about this conference is this, that I experienced fire. I experienced fire in a way that, like, I've never experienced fire before. And I don't necessarily mean a manifestation of the presence and the glory of God coming upon you that leads you into a travailing prayer. No, I mean something on the inside. I feel the prayers that we prayed Sunday, I want to just testify of this. I'll start with Rob's prayer. Rob's prayer was that God would stretch my heart, right? That he would stretch the wineskin. That it would be able to hold more wine. That it would be able to receive more of who God is. And bro, I want to testify that that's exactly what happened. Like, day two, I just literally feel the size of my heart to begin to stretch in my chest. And the only way I could describe it is a stretching fire. My chest, I feel like my heart has gone from the size of my fist to literally the entire width of my chest. And it's been filled and it's on fire. So praise God, man. Thanks for being obedient and praying that prayer. And your wife, you know, prayed that she just seen a pitcher of water with wisdom, clear wisdom. You know, and anytime we are full of zeal, we need wisdom, man. Because if we don't have wisdom, we'll just be running around cutting people's ears off. Right? Really, I mean, there was nobody more zealous for the will of God to be done in their lives than Jesus. And Peter, full of zeal, lacking wisdom, right? When the centurion came to take Jesus, he pulled his sword out and cut his ear off. And that's what happens to us with zeal, with no wisdom. And it always leaves Jesus needing to come behind us and fix what we've cut off, right? We take our zeal and we run around and all we're doing is cutting people's spiritual ears off. They don't want to hear what we have to say. Sometimes it takes wisdom to be tempered with zeal to really get the full effect of the gospel. It gives us access into people's hearts. So that was another amazing testimony of prayer that was answered in Phyllis. And honestly, I want to be just vulnerable for a moment. When you're praying over me Sunday, I'm thinking, like, there's no way that this, what you're saying, could really happen. Like, I'm going to a conference where, of course, something is going to physically take place. Like, I know I'm going to experience something. Her prayer for me was to not allow myself to think that I don't receive, or to it might not seem, you know, it might not look like what I thought it would look like, and not to get discouraged, and to just know that God is really doing something in my heart. And honestly, at the time of the prayer, I'm thinking, like, well, thank you, but man, I know I'm going to know, right? Well, that's not exactly what she said. And so the Lord revealed to me something about fire. In the presence of God, we can feel, as we know, we could feel the weight of his glory. We know that we're in the presence of God. We could feel the heat of the fire and the Holy Spirit stirring inside of us. And once I got back to my hotel room, almost every single night, I'd get to my room and I'd sit on the edge of the bed or in the stool at the desk and just be like, Lord, did I receive anything today? Did I receive anything today, Lord? Like, was there an impartation? I feel nothing. I feel like it's gone. And the Lord said, just hang out with me. Open your word. So I would just start to pray, and I'd start to read, and I realized something about fire. And this is the way that the Lord wants us to really be. He ignites us, and we have this fire in us. But it doesn't go from a little flame to a bonfire instantly. And as we put sticks and things on it, it gets a little bigger and then it might even come down. But what we need to do is open the Word of God and allow the Word of God to breathe on our fire. Right? So when we have this picture, it's like we have this little flame, then it's like, you know, and it grows a little larger and it comes down a little bit. You keep blowing on it, you keep putting kindle on it, you keep putting wood on it, you keep stoking this fire, and eventually you have something that's burning so brightly we cannot not stare at fire. If something is burning, it's going to draw attention to itself. And so I pray that not only over myself and you individually, but this is being a house not only of prayer, but a house of fire. That from a distance, as people are driving through the darkness, and you can see over on the next hilltop something glowing, right? A warm amber glow. You can't help but to ask yourself, is there something burning over there? And as you drive past a house on fire, it's like you are captivated by the way it moves and what it consumes. We as people, as humans, are just captivated by fire, which leads me to believe we were meant to burn. We were meant to be on fire. And so as I would just continue to spend time with God each and every night, He would just breathe on this fire and I would just wake up just, wow, what's going on? I'm waking up in the middle of the night crying out, fire of God. So yes, I do believe in impartation and I do believe fire. And I don't have a word prepared for us this morning, but I believe God has a word for each one of us. I don't have a message prepared, but I believe that God really wants to speak to each one of us individually. And I believe that God has a fire prepared for each one of us. It might not look like my fire, and it might not look like to the person sitting next to you's fire, but today I believe God wants to put a fire not only in our hearts, but a flaming tongue of fire over our heads. So this was an impartation experience, and so by the end of this morning here, I definitely want to lay hands on everyone who feels it stirring in their hearts to receive either you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or you want fresh fire, because we can't do it without Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive power. We receive power to become witnesses for Him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So I do believe that this morning, and I'm, you know, Rick asked me to share and instantly he just says, man, just come up here and be. And that's not like me. Like, I need my notes. And my old pastor said to me, Kev, what are you going to say when your notes run out, man? Where is that going to leave you? What are you really going to say? Where are you going to speak from when your notes run out? I'm like, man, I'll just make sure I bring more notes, you know? I'm good, Lord. I'll just make sure I have, you know, 3 hours worth of notes. But no, man, we speak from the abundance of our hearts. And even when we have no words to speak and we trust in God to just open our mouths and let the words come out, there He is. He meets us in that place. He's the comforter because we put ourselves in uncomfortable positions, right? He's the helper because I can't do this without Him. I need His help. I need His power. And I believe that even this morning, I'm going to become just radically faithful in a simple gospel. And I was listening to that song, Crash. Is that the name? Or Oceans or Crash by Jen Johnson. Is that what it is? Is it Crash? Yeah, beautifully and over my head. Like, I want to live, right now I feel like, dude, you're so beautifully and over your head. But as long as we put the word beautiful before it, we're good. Because, you know, we don't want to be drowned in. But I imagine it like this. And as I'm listening to this song, I see Jesus, like, out on the water. And, like, I see myself, like, knee deep, right? And as I'm listening to the song, like, I'm having this, like, vision last night driving home of Jesus just out here, like, come on out. Sometimes He takes us by the hand, but sometimes He lets go and just sees if we're going to walk towards Him, right? And so I believe that this morning, even right now, that Jesus is up here and He's just saying, come on out a little deeper. Come on out a little deeper. And we're like, Lord, we're getting kind of far from the shore. He's like, no, I got you. Come on out a little deeper. Because where Jesus is where I want to be. So if Jesus is in the middle of a vast ocean, that's where I want to be. And I could be beautifully in over my head, but the real, you know, the reality of it is I'll never sink nor swim because He's teaching us to walk on water. And I believe God is really wanting to put in us not only the fire, but the faith to get out of the boat. Whether that's like at the grocery store and the Lord lays on our hearts to go pray for the cashier and there's people around, God, let me get out of my boat. Let me hear you. Peter says, Jesus, if that's really you, call me out there. Command me to come. It was a commandment. And Jesus turns around and he says, come. So when we hear Jesus call us to come, I want to have radical faith in a simple gospel and believe the word of God to the point to where it has nothing to do with me, but it points to everything that he is and everything that he says that he is. Friday night was the impartation service. I know I'm feeling jumping around a little bit, but he said, just say whatever. So that's what we're doing. So Dr. Crandall Chauncey, he's a cardiologist. And man, you know, he does some amazing work. He does stuff in Haiti, just some amazing things. Man full of the fire of God. And his testimony is amazing. Humbling, right? To see such a powerful God use such a weak man, really, you know. But he gives his testimony. He shares about what the Lord's doing in his life. And we have 120 evangelists in a room smaller than, like, what's back here. And he does this altar call. He says, if anybody wants prayer, like, come on down. And so everybody just kind of comes down onto the floor. And this is what's wrecked me. He starts praying just fire of God. Is the only thing he's saying. He's laying hands on people, fire of God, fire of God. And he gets to me and he says, Kevin, fire of God. And literally, like, I'm so glad somebody was behind me. Something like hit me and I came off of my feet. Like it threw me into the air backwards and I land on the ground and I just start to just pray in the spirit. Like I'm just praying in tongues, just consumed by the fire, the love of God. And I'm on the floor, unable to get up. And finally, I'm able to get my feet up underneath of me. And there's this bigger guy and he's pulling me up. And Dr. Chauncey comes by me and he prays again. And like, I come off my feet again and I'm just on the floor, just like crying and weeping. And it wasn't this, I didn't have no open vision. It wasn't like this Shekinah glory, burning fire. But I know that there was something released in me. I know that the fire of God is something that not only is visible and seen by others, but it's something that when we speak, it the Holy Spirit in us, you know, it brings conviction of righteousness, judgment, and sin. And so the impartation, I mean, I believe in it so much. I experienced it. And then Reinhard, you know, obviously at the end of the evening, at this point, like, I mean, we all are just kind of walking around this place, just not even knowing what's going on. Just so filled and overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. And the impartation service comes and they line everybody up and we walk through this fire tunnel and him and Daniel Kalenda, his successor, lay hands on everybody and you know, of course, bam, down you go again. And you're just laying there, just weeping, just allowing God to really work on your heart. And I want to read some scripture because after what I experienced, I realized that the signs and the wonders, they confirm the word of God. They really confirm the word of God. And so the impartation is real. And like Pastor said, the fear of man that was in me has been completely consumed by the fire of God. And I think that that's what it takes, right? Fear is so implemented in us that it really takes something so powerful as the fire of God to come and to just wreck my religion, my theology, and not only like understand how God sees me to be, but really gain understanding of how he sees everyone else. And it doesn't matter. Like, I'm free from me, so I could really be free from you. I'm free from me, so I could be free from all these other people that may have judgments and the judgments of men and the opinions of man. I could be free from all of that because I know who my Father is. I know who my God is. I know who He says I am, and He calls me son. So if I'm accepted in the Beloved, there's nobody here that can not accept me. I'm already accepted in Him. You can't not, even if you do decide to not receive me, it's okay. I'm accepted in Him. Like, that's my real identity. During worship, I looked around and I heard the Lord say, I've heard the cry of my people. And there was something just different this morning. I believe that, not that we're not any other morning, but I believe that this morning God's seen us all in one place in one accord. And we all know that when the day of Pentecost fully came, there was a great outpouring, that there was a sound released from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And they were all filled and sat upon their heads, each one of them, a flame of fire. And so I'm believing, and we're going to pray, and I'm believing that God is going to set a fire upon each one of our heads and in each one of our hearts. He showed me this picture this morning of the ocean as being unsearchable. That's why we use it to describe God. We have nothing else. We have explored more of space than we have of the sea. And so when we're in this vast ocean of unsearchable things, it's the closest thing that we are able to describe the depths and lengths of who God is. But He has invited us. This morning, He's invited us to come out into the sea of love. I believe this is a really, really good word for somebody in here this morning. The trees in this season, they're not anxious about losing their leaves. And they are not worried whether or not they will bud again come spring. Because even the trees themselves know that there's a time for everything under the sun. So God, I feel, is calling us from a place of doing to just being. To allow the fire of God, to allow the wind of God to come. And just as the leaves fall in this season, just allow the dead things, allow our flesh to just be blown away, allow our flesh to just be burned away in the love of God. And stand in a place of just being in His presence, abiding and dwelling. Not worrying about whether or not we will produce fruit come spring. But just allowing God in this season to break up our fallow ground. So that we will not sow amongst the thorns, and that we would separate ourselves unto God. I had a vision the other night. It was Thursday night. And I woke up and I was crying. And the only thing I continued to say was, fire of God. And I believe this is for someone in here also this morning. And what God showed me was, I was sitting, chiseling away in a hard place. And the more I chiseled, the duller my chisel became. And I heard the Lord say, and I seen it. He goes, man, you're focused on the wrong thing. Yes, your chisel may be becoming duller, but your sword is becoming sharper. That it's never about what we're hammering away at, but it's what we're sharpening our sword towards. And so the place that God has us right now, where it seems like we're chiseling away in this hard place, and it doesn't seem like we're getting any stronger. It doesn't seem like I'm getting any bigger. It doesn't seem like I'm even making a dent in what I'm chiseling at. I want to take our attention this morning off of our chisels and place them on our swords. Because in that place, our character is being developed. In that place, our integrity, our honor is growing. And so it's not about the dullness of our chisel, but the sharpness of our sword. And I want to encourage you this morning to stop chiseling away in those hard places and take up our swords. Because that's the weapon that God has given us. We don't fight, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But this is our sword right here. This word of God is what we fight with. And so we don't have to allow the enemy to come and say, look how long you've been working and look how little progress you've made. Because in that time, God has been sharpening our swords. And it's time that they be drawn. Mercy is unpredictable. The kingdom of God is unpredictable. And everywhere the kingdom is, there's going to be a stranger also. Everywhere the kingdom is, there's going to be a stranger. And that stranger might be a friend, and that stranger might be a thief. But if we never open the door to mercy, if we never open the door to the kingdom, if we never open the door to that stranger, we might keep the thief out. But we're guaranteed to keep the friend out. And every time we come into the presence of God, there is something new for us. His mercy is new every day. His mercy is new every day. And every day we are faced with something that we've never heard before, we've never experienced before, we've never seen before. But if I don't open the door to the stranger, I'm guaranteed to keep the friend out. And I just need to trust God to open the door to allow the stranger to come in. And if he's a thief, the Lord will show me he's a thief. But if he ends up being a friend, then I've gained a brother in Christ. I've gained something. I've taken ground because I've opened the door to the stranger. So just during worship, the Lord laid that on my heart today. If you've been keeping the door closed, if God has been knocking, if you've felt like the Lord is wanting to take you deeper and you're saying, well, Lord, I don't know what's out there. I want to encourage you this morning to step out in faith and to get out of your boat and to know that even if you sink or if you swim, it doesn't matter because he wants to teach you how to walk on water. I'm just going to read the word. I'm going to read out of Matthew 14, starting in verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a desert place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when he seen this, he went out and saw a great multitude. And he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed the sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the hour is already late. So send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them to me. When he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grasses, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And I don't know about you guys, but this passage was revealed to me that Jesus didn't feed the 5,000 men. And theologians think that there had to be at least like 15 to 20,000 people in this place. Like 5,000 men, you had women and children. There was like 15,000 people. But the miracle lied in the hands of the disciples. And could you imagine like Pete getting these crumbs and looking at them and being like, Lord, this isn't going to be enough. It doesn't have to be enough for everybody that you see. It just has to be enough for the first person that you go to. Knowing that if you give away what the Lord has given you, he's going to fill you back up. You're going to have more to go to the next one and to the next one. And before you know it, 5,000 men have been fed. But I guarantee you, that most of us, I'll say myself included, most of the time, I don't even get the 10 yards to the first person. What God has given me, I look at what he's calling me to do and I let go of what he's given me. Because I think to myself, Lord, there's no possible way that you're going to feed the 5,000. He says, son, you don't need to feed the 5,000 right now. You need to feed the first one that's in front of you. And so I want to take my eyes off of that, from hilltop to hilltop, and I want to notice the small things, right? The small things that God reveals to us in the valleys. Because those are the beautiful things, right? Those are the small things, the beautiful things, the things that are right in front of us. I don't have to feed the multitude right now. I just have to make sure that I give away to the first guy that comes to me. And before you know it, you turn around and you fed 5,000 men. So I want to encourage you. It might seem small in our hands, but if God has blessed it, if God has blessed it, he will continue to fill you enough to feed 5,000 men. Don't despise the day of small things. This was the last teaching that we got, and I'm going to end on this, and we're going to open it up for a time of prayer. But Reinhard taught on this before he imparted and laid hands on us, and this is out of 2 Kings chapter 13. If you guys want to just listen, I just want to read a few verses here. This is the death of Elisha, and this is an amazing portion of Scripture. Elisha had become sick with an illness, of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came to him, and he wept over his face, saying, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for which you must strike the Syrians till you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took the arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck it 3 times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him, and he said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria till you have destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times. And when Reinhard taught on this, it completely, there's so many things in this passage of Scripture. And I believe that God is also wanting to impart to us those who have trembling hands. Those who God has told to take up their bow, but because of the fear of man, they are unable to even open the window. And I believe that God is wanting, Jesus is going to come and he's going to put his hands over your hands and he's going to stable your hands. But as the king came and he wept over Elisha, he said, my father, he's weeping over his face. I love Scripture, and this is what was revealed to me. Sometimes we have to see what's not said. What wasn't said by Elisha was, son, go grab a hanky for your nose and dry your tears. No, Elisha said, as he's crying, he said, man, go grab your bow. Go get your bow. Let's stop weeping over the things that don't matter. And go grab your bow because it's time to go to war. So he goes and he takes his bow. He says, go and take yourself some arrows. So he grabs his arrows. Put your hand on the bow. And so at this point, Elisha puts his hands on the king's hands. Now coming from a place of weeping and just being distraught, like shaken up, fearful of someone, you know, the prophet of God passing away right before you. He says, no, man, be settled. Be at peace right now. Open the window. And Elisha said to him, shoot. And he shot. What he didn't say, he never said aim. The prophet of God never told the king to aim because he knew that his hands were already guided. We don't have to know exactly. The only thing we have to do is open our window, shoot the arrow of deliverance into the land that needs delivered, and trust that God's arrow of deliverance is self-seeking. It's going to hit its mark. When we just trust God to pull back the bow and we let the arrows go, we could trust in God that it's going to hit the mark, because the hands of Jesus has guided us. The hands of the Lord are on our lives. We don't have to spend energy and exert ourselves trying to make sure the trajectory and what we're aiming at is on point. The only thing we have to do is take up our bow and our arrows and draw it back and shoot it, trusting that it's going to hit its mark in Jesus. And then finally, he says, take up the remaining arrows and strike the ground. So the king grabs him and he hits it three times. He says, man, you should have hit that thing five or six different times. We need to have persistence and perseverance and endurance, and we need to keep striking those grounds. The ground in our life that the enemy has control over, we need to continue to strike that until the bonds are broken, until the binds in our lives, the strongholds in our lives are broken, the strongholds in other lives are broken. We must not stop hitting and striking the ground, because God wants to give us territory. God wants to give us the territory that belongs to us. So I encourage you this morning. It might not look like what we think it's going to look like, but I want to encourage you something that even as the Lord spoke to me about the fire, as we go home, if we go from this place, we continue to spend time with God, and we spend time in His Word, He's going to continue to breathe. I believe in this impartation. I believe in it mightily. And so we're going to pray. We're going to pray right now. And actually, if we could turn this up a little bit before we do that, I want to just kind of spend just a few seconds just before God, worshiping the Lord, asking Him to get our hearts right, asking God to just get our hearts ready to receive from Him this morning. Just asking God to put a